We've been in this series called Breaking Free from the Past. It really is talking about how often people have events happen in their life. And I'm talking about believers, I'm talking about non-believers, have events in their life that end up defining them unnecessarily. They're heartbreaking situations, and they never seem to get beyond it. Some of it because they have committed sin and they haven't really dealt with it biblically. And in others, it's sin has been done to them, and they haven't been able to get back and claim the victory of Christ in it. And we've been talking about what that looks like. And breaking free from a past, the problem is sin. It may be not their personal sin, it may be the sin of someone else, but it's sin. And therefore, Scripture many, many times is so often. Because it is sin, Scripture has the very answer they need for their life's challenges. The promise is a great promise. It isn't that we're all going to have an easy life and nothing bad is going to ever happen to us. I look out at our group. I just can't believe, you know, we're sitting there with that idea. Life has some heartbreaks, doesn't it? I mean, some things you have nothing to do with happen. Well, that's not the promise. But the promise is this. God is a God of mercy. And God provides forgiveness for anyone that will come to Him under His terms and in His way. The other aspect is the process. One of the best things to... I was speaking with some individuals and we were talking about ministry, and I recognize how this statement is so true. We need to live in the grace of God by faith. God is up to something. He has, Jeremiah tells us, He has a plan for us. He has a plan for your life. He has a plan for my life. He has a plan for this local church. He has a plan for our nation. The key is not to always chart our own course. That's not the objective here. It's to identify His course, His path, and then get in the flow of it and do our best to honor Him. Not easy in some situations. You get a lot of pressure to do other things, but live in the grace of God and live our identity. Identity that if you are a believer, you're a child of God. We're not just an individual. We are His children. And if you really know Him, this is a tremendous truth. It may look like the whole world's against you, but if you have accepted Jesus Christ, you're still God's child. And you will always be God's child. And in the end, you're going to be a joint heir with His Son. We've got a great future. We might just have some rough times in between here and there. Breaking free from the past, we need to take ownership for the parts of our life that we've created here. You know, there's some such many situations where we just need to say, all right, you know what? I'm having this difficulty because I have been rebelling to God's control, authority, His way. And just to accept it. Take ownership. Say, you know what? I've got some problems here and I can't change the world, but I can work on what I'm doing and how I'm thinking. And that's what I'm trying to point out. Number two, once we take ownership and say, okay, I have a responsibility to live my life for God's glory, then we have to take aim on what He wants us to do. It isn't just go about doing nothing or just getting busy. How many of us in here felt busy today? How many of you felt busy? You know, like, I can't get what I have done. It was 1 o'clock today. I had gotten up this morning and I said, okay, enough is enough. Today I'm going to do these three things before noon. Okay? Three things. They were not impossible tasks. They were definitely manageable tasks. It got to 9 o'clock and I had task number one completed. I said, yeah, this is right on schedule. And 1 o'clock came around, and because of other things that happened, I never even got a chance to think about those other two. There was just no way. And those two remain undone as I stand before you tonight. One of them, I, Lord willing, I'm going to finish before I go to bed. That's my commitment. Don't go to bed until you get at least another one done. But my point to this is that if you don't start taking aim, you'll never get anywhere. Because there is tons of distractions. Boy, is it easy to spend our time on something other than what we really need to be doing. And then, once we take aim on it, so many people say, all right, I am done with this. I am not going to smoke again. Well, that's a great statement. And there's a lot of statements like that. I am not going to use profanity. I'm going to read my Bible on a regular basis. You can make these commitments. And let me tell you, it starts with making a commitment. So taking aim is not to be diminished. But the real key is doing it. Taking action. Now there are a couple things, the three things we're talking about, at least today, I've been working on anger. There, when you get into taking action and you have something really traumatic in your background, most people, although they have disguised in different ways, are struggling with some anger about this issue. It is often the case where they haven't dealt with it and there's a bitterness, and that's part of the reason why they have kind of gotten stuck in the mud. And so we've been talking about anger. Another one is forgiveness. Biblically handling, you know, understanding what forgiveness is and then doing it. But let me just go on anger right now. Anger is perfectly normal to experience anger. That's okay. And as a matter of fact, if you're able to go and never experience anger, I really wonder about your life. That doesn't really seem to be, that's just not a normal life. Anger can be suppressed until it becomes depression, and that's associated with denial. And that has happened in many people's lives, where they just ignore it, try to just endure it, but don't really handle it biblically. And it'll rip you up. And it has ripped up many people. It's ripped up many relationships. Anger can be communicated both verbally and non-verbally. We've seen that, you know, the language, you know, we've all had people explode on us, right? But we also had people that you can just look at them and say, whoa, I don't think I want to run into them. And it's important to realize that while it is understandable to be angry, because it's a God-given emotion, it is unhealthy to stay angry. As a matter of fact, Ephesians chapter 5 speaks to that very issue. Anger has to be dealt with by looking into why it has become a major issue. Deciding to deal with the anger is the first step. You got to say, you know what? I have allowed this to go on long enough. I have to deal with my anger. That emotion that is there. And number two, we have to learn what's a biblical way to handle it. And that's what we've been talking about. This energy that, I have that literally, the energy that anger produces can lead to great harm. It can cause ulcers. It can cause assaults. You know, people assault other people because of this stuff. And the same energy can be used to bring great healing. It is an energy that is a God-given emotion, and I think all of us recognize it in our own. You know, it's the adrenaline flowing through our bodies. The question is, what are you going to do with this? And how are you going to learn to direct it? Because some people haven't even thought about directing it. They just, I couldn't help it anymore. I always get angry when that happens. Well, why? Is that okay? You mean you can't control it? You know, that's not an acceptable. God never called us to do something He didn't give us the capability to do right. We must learn to deal with the negative and positive aspects of anger. And now we're into our questions. And I want a little dialogue on this. Why is it important to determine the cause or reason for the anger. Right. Okay, you've got to see it. You've got to identify the problem that's there. What else? Brother Jerry? Okay. What we could... Take a deep breath. That's a wise comment there. Well,
good reasons and bad reasons. Somebody's just
blowing. Yeah. I'll tell you what. When I say reason or cause, here's what I do personally. I didn't always do it. I've told you many times that when I was younger, this is an area that I had to work through personally. It is at this point you have your first opportunity either to sin or not sin in regards to anger. You have to ask yourself, is this appropriate with God? If you saw someone else raping someone, there ought to be some anger generated in you. And that's God given, because God has spoken about another person ought not to treat a person in that manner. And it ought to stir you up enough to take some action. That's a righteous anger. But a lot of people can really get angry because you looked at me wrong. Do you think that ever happened? Oh, I mean, you see it on the street all the time. What are you looking at? You know, that type of stuff. Hold on a second. Now we are able to identify almost, in this example, something that is clearly sinful and needs to be repented of instantly, because it isn't righteous anger. That's pride or, you know, I don't know, arrogance on the part of the individual that's getting disturbed by another person looking at them. They need to ask themselves, who do I think I really am? The reality is we've all been bought with a price. We're all made in the image of God. You know, this is crazy to have that be an issue. But you know what? In our community, people are getting shot and stabbed because they look at somebody the wrong way or they bump somebody accidentally. And that person happens to be so keyed up that they cannot control their emotion and they respond in anger. So here's the point. Why is it important to determine their cause or their reason for anger? Because some are sinful and some are righteous. And I'm telling you, it's as Brother Jerry said, you know, you look at it and you just need to let it go. If it's the wrong thing, it is really important to identify it just that. No, listen, I am angry because they implied a name or a nickname to me and that was offensive to me. No, we've been bought with a price. It's not about us being treated in a certain way. We want to honor God in it. So to really blow off the handle on that, you've got a problem with pride, and you ought to just say, Lord, give me the grace to handle this in a way that bring you honor. Okay? So that's the first point. Number two, why is it important to analyze one's response to anger? Yes, just like the reason, if we allow the reason to be and get angry about ungodly things, that's sin. And if we respond, even if it's godly, let's say, I used this illustration earlier, you saw someone getting raped and you were big time stirred by that to say, no, righteously, that's wrong. And you're going to do what, you're not going to turn the other way. You're going to aggressively get involved to stop it. But, if in your response you so lose control that you beat the other person to a pulp or possibly to death, you have sinned. Because you have directed it in a proper direction, but you haven't controlled what to do with it. And you haven't prevented a sin, you created another sin. So now we have the sin of rape and we have the sin of murder. You see the point? We need to be careful the way we respond. Just like we need to ask ourselves, what's the reason? What is meant Do not let the sun go down on your anger or on your wrath. Well, here's the way a lot of people say, well, you know what? If a husband and wife have a problem, they've got to settle it before they go to sleep that night. Well, that in some cases is, you know, is probably a good general principle. But the principle that's taught is not necessarily that next few minutes before you put your head on the pillow. It's that, in general, you do not want to allow these issues to just fester. They need to be dealt with in a timely manner. Now, the reasons why I qualified it, in some situations, a couple might be better off just to say, you know what, let's get some space here. Let's get control of ourselves, because their response may not be biblical. They need a little time to get a control of their emotions first. And that's not a bad thing, that's a good thing. And so maybe they need to get some sleep and talk about it in the morning when they have regrouped. Okay, that's my point there. Why is it important to emphasize that anger must be corrective? You know what? Here's my point on this. You have two choices with this energy. You can either be corrective and helpful, edifying, and do something about solving the problem, or you can be destructive. And boy, be careful. When your anger starts turning on destroying somebody else, you know you're into sin. And people get really malicious in this. They get eaten up by this, and they get consumed by structuring their life to get the other person, destroy the other person. Don't do that. I had used the illustration a couple weeks ago of when I came home and my kids were younger and the house wasn't cleaned up. I was really tired and looking forward to go to bed, but when I got in the house, it was a mess. And all of a sudden, I had enough energy to get everybody up and say, you know what? This house better be clean. That was corrective. And in fact, my wife and I then went to bed and got up in the morning. The house was like it should have been when we came home. They had cleaned it up and then gone to bed. That was using the energy in a corrective way. A destructive way would have been get the kids up and beat them, which goes on in our culture. But it's not God's way. How is it possible that the same event could trigger either sinful or righteous response of anger? Well, what's that? Yes, absolutely. And how we're going to do it? We. Yes. Absolutely. It is a test, and you get to choose. And that's how you can get into problems. And that's important, because so many people talk about, especially angry people, like I used to be, you started to accept that this is who I am. And to explode and to be out of control for a period of time is just who I am. No, that's not an acceptable view in God's point of view. You might have gotten comfortable with it, and even the people around you may have, well, don't mess with him, because if he blows up, it's really a problem. But I'm telling you, it is sin, sin, sin. And as Christians, we have to say, no, I'm not going to be characterized by it. If I handle this strong emotion in the wrong way, it's sinful, and I'm not purposing to be sinful. Why do true victims who have good reasons to be angry often develop sinful anger? They didn't deal with it correctly. They didn't get to the point where they accepted the past in their life, and they become overwhelmed by it, and they get consumed by it. And so we need to be careful that we settle these issues with God vertically, first and foremost. And if there are issues with others, that we do our level best to settle it with them. Now, some situations, you know, some women have been abused when they were children. And the abuser, by the time they really get to a point where they can deal with it, has died. Well, you're left with one alternative. And that is biblically handling it between you and God. No doubt with the help of others, but you can say, all right, Lord, you know, you have to ask yourself why. You know, you ask these tough questions, and there are no answers to some of them. Why, as a little girl, was I left in that room? No, there's no good answers for this stuff. But we do have a lot of information in the Word of God. The one passage that I believe you looked at Sunday morning. All things work together for good. They aren't necessarily directly obvious to you, but God has an overall purpose in this. We may not understand the purpose in some of the really tragic events in our lives until we're absent from this body and present with Him. Have you had anything happen in your life that you can't figure out? I've had a few. You know, I look at it, and even to this day, different times I meditate on it and try to say, Lord, what were you up to? Why did you allow that to go that direction? And the answer is I don't know. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I'm just comforted and become content in the fact that I have a shepherd. And He is caring for me. He's leading me in the pastures and beside the still waters. And even if I should face the valley of the shadow of death, which I think is a beautiful thought, it's not death itself, it only looks like it. It's a shadow of death. Our God is with us. Why is venting anger, although a popular notion, because I'm telling you, it is taught in our culture today. Yeah, if you've got that thing, just, you know, take the pillow out and pound it. Slam it against the wall. Now, let me tell you, if you ever seen anybody do this, how many of you ever seen somebody vent, you know, and even told that they can vent, and that's a good way to handle it? They grab the old pillow and they go smashing at this, or they have something else they're hitting. When you see that, does it ever dawn on you that in their mind, they're probably committing murder or something very close? You know, they're just, that pillow becomes that person they're so mad at, and they just pound it. Now, could that be pleasing to God? I don't think so. Look at Proverbs 29:11. A fool vents all his feelings. That's a fool. I've learned in Scripture, I don't want to be in the group that is described as a fool. But a wise man holds them back. There is a sense in which we have been called to be in control. We are to control our message. We are to control our thoughts, our actions, our words, in the power of the Spirit of God and directed by the Word of God. Sin may be avoided by catching anger at the kindling point. And that's really an important truth. How do these verses help us there? You understand what I'm saying? Get it before it goes too far. Identify it in yourself before it gets beyond. That was, talk about having, how I found victory in this area, is I started to recognize how it grew in, you know, I could feel it in me. And I said, oh, I know that feeling, and I am not going there. I stopped it. I said, I'm not going to let it go any further. Proverbs 17:14 says, the beginning of strife is like releasing water. Therefore, stop contention before a quarrel starts. There is, the proverb is telling us, listen, relieve the pressure, deal with it right now, because it's easier now than it would be to control it later. So just pray, ask God to help you. Ask God to help you honor Him in the way you respond. Ask Him how you could be His instrument in the midst of this challenge. And then in James 1:19, it says, so then, my beloved, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. You know, what's the emphasis on this? It ties in beautifully with Proverbs 18:13, one of my favorite passages in regards to keeping my life straight. He that answereth a matter before he heareth it, it's a folly and a shame unto him. Be careful to gather data before you draw your conclusion. And that's what it's saying here. Be swift to hear. Listen up. Control your anger. Control your speech. Some thoughts to ponder. Number one, if you look at a sinful, an angry time in your life recently, just think about it. Try to identify something where it really got to you. How should you have responded? That's a good thing to be asking ourselves. How should I have responded to this situation? Because if you never ask yourself, you aren't any better prepared to handle it next time. Number two, what can you do about it now? To prepare yourself to avoid it in the future, to deal with it in a God-honoring manner? And are you willing to resolve it? It goes back to corrective. Use the energy to be corrective and rather destructive. But sometimes you need to look back on the event and say, all right, what really went down here and how should I have responded in light of what Scripture tells me? It is powerful to take a step away after an event has happened and analyze from God's perspective, is that the right way as a witness, as an ambassador for Christ to respond in those situations? Whatsoever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. And therefore, whether you eat or drink, whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. And that includes those times when our switch is tripped. We are to do our level best. And my prayer is that all of us would make a fresh effort, no matter where we are. Recommit to the cause to say, you know what, I am going to do my level best to honor Him and to be His instrument in the midst of this. Heavenly Father, I thank You for this opportunity to talk about this issue. And Father, in the weeks ahead now, as we move into forgiveness, I pray that You would help us to look at that from Your perspective, and that You would be glorified and You'd be honored in the way we review and sometimes learn how to respond to situations that are less than ideal, that are in many cases extremely heartbreaking and regrettable. And we just pray, Father, for Your leading and Your direction in Jesus' name. Amen.